to do this very often, or say nearly as often as I should. But I dearly love this assembly. And I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And I know words don't go very far, but I'll try to put some legs under those, and more than I have. And I appreciate you coming tonight and your prayers. My text tonight is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read the text, and then I want us to turn to Romans. But the text tonight is verse 19 and 20 of 1 Corinthians 6. The apostle asks the question, starting out, says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I'd like for us to turn to Romans chapter 14 just for a moment. Give us a little something there that I think will help. I want to read the first 8 verses. "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, and another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike, that every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." This, back to 1 Corinthians. This text, the part I want to dwell on is the latter part of the 19th verse and the first part of the 20th verse. You're not your own. Probably most of us, sometime or other during our life, have thought, "I'm my own person." And throwed our shoulders back and spoke like we knew something. But we've never been our own. Never have. And never will be. We were wrong when we thought that. We were sold into sin, into bondage, by our father Adam, long before we were born in this world. And not only were we sold into bondage of sin, we loved it. We loved what we were in. And we were hell-bent for destruction, all of us, but God. God stopped us with his invincible call. I'm sure glad he did me. I don't know how you came, and we've all got different stories. But the Lord made me thoroughly sick of man's religion. And I probably told some of you this story. I won't tell the whole thing, but we started staying home, Doris and Becky and I. She was still home with us. And one Saturday, Doris said, I want you to listen to a preacher on television in the morning. And she knew I didn't like television preachers. And I said, well, why should I? She said, well, for one thing, he said he's not begging for money. I said, I'll listen to him. So the next morning, we listened to Henry Mahan. And several Sundays we did that until we finally, one Sunday morning, we got up real early and said, let's just drive to Ashland. About 60-some miles, so we did. And we did that for about 3 years. But that's enough on that. But God knew every one of us before time. And those ever, and the apostle here is talking to believers. And so we've never been our own person, never will be. And as a matter of fact, I don't want to be. And then he says here that you were bought with a price. And what a price. We were bought, purchased, redeemed by our Lord Jesus Christ. As we know, God the Father elected or chose who would be saved before the foundation of the world, and he gave them to his Son for his bride. And at that time, Jesus Christ became a surety for all that God chose. And he became a surety for us for all time. And if you're scared or worried, and we all get that way, no need. We're in fine hands. We're in the hands of the Lord Jesus. He's responsible for us to the Father. He is. He's responsible for us. And the price he paid, he will take care of his purchased possession. I'll assure you that. He's capable, and he's not only capable, but that's his will. That's his desire. Let's look at Ephesians 1. I'll confess, do a little confessing tonight on my own about myself. First year, I guess, I was listening to the gospel of grace. I don't know why, but there for about 2 weeks, everywhere I went, they was teaching and preaching, and they was using the first chapter of Ephesians. I thought, is this all they've got? But I found out it's enough. Let's read a few verses here in Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That includes us, doesn't it? Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now look with me in 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Concerning the price that was paid for us, that price is incalculable. Nobody, no man can calculate the worth of that price. It's too much. In the world's economy, silver and gold are searched for, worked for, longed for, and killed for. But our Lord says they're corruptible things, damnable. And they are. If you've got your heart set on them, you can probably get them. But you can't have Christ. If that's all your interest is seeing the shiny things, you won't walk with the Lord. But we're not redeemed with such worthless things as that, corruptible things, but the precious, pure blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's pure and perfect and endures forever. The blood of the Lord Jesus has no human handprints on it. That is, His blood has not been contaminated by man. And we're covered with His blood. And just as in the Old Testament, when God came looking there in Egypt, when they had the blood on the door, He was looking for the blood. He didn't examine the people inside. If they were inside, they were safe. We're in Him, we're safe. We're in Christ, we're safe. No harm. No harm coming. I think when we stand before God, He's still going to be looking for the blood. He's going to be looking to His Son. We won't have to answer a word. When your name's called, if you're a believer, Christ will answer for you. And that'll be sufficient. And you'll hear those wonderful words, enter into the joys of the Lord. The Lord didn't just happen to be killed because some men wanted Him killed. They did, but that wasn't the reason. He was ordained and purposed for that very reason. Look in Acts with me, chapter 2 of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden with it. So that was the reason that He came into the world, was to purchase or buy back His people that God had given Him before time. I want to read a verse in Matthew. Would you turn with Matthew chapter 1 with me? It's a very familiar passage, as all these are to you. And I was talking to someone earlier, and teaching and preaching is just to remind us. And we have to be reminded over and over again. That's why we come 2 and 3 times a week, to hear and be reminded. And I'm so thankful for a pastor that we have that's faithful and faithful servant, and without fear or favor of man, just declares the gospel. I don't think anybody could leave this place after Todd's preached and say, I didn't understand it. Do you? It's just pretty plain, very simple, very plain. You may not believe it, but you can't say you didn't understand it. In Matthew 1, verse 21, we've all speaks of his birth. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For, that's the reason, for he shall save his people from their sins. Didn't say anything about the world or giving everybody a chance. Didn't come to try to save anybody. He came to save. And thank God he did that. And he's doing that. And I don't know how many more he's got, but he won't call a halt till he gets all that he's chosen. And I'm expecting that not to be too long. I realize that probably in the early church, after Christ's death, the early church was expecting it then. And every generation has expected him to come that in that time. But he will. Some people have gotten tired of waiting and say, well, I don't guess he's coming. Well, I do. I know he's coming. And I'm looking forward to the time that he does. This great price that he paid, not any or all mathematicians could get together and figure the worth of it. Couldn't do it. That's the greatest reason why they were not our own. Is because he paid the price for us. He bought us when it looks like we weren't worthy of anything. Wasn't even worthy of his looks, but he paid that price. And I'm sure that he's going to protect us and preserve us. I know that we persevere, but we only persevere because he preserved us. That's the only reason. If it's left to us, if we have anything to do with it, we'll fall away. If we could fall away, I'm assured we would. But what a Savior and Redeemer, Keeper we have. I'll confess a little again. I once hated this gospel. I hated the doctrine of election. I hated the doctrine of particular redemption. Until the Lord, in his great grace and mercy, revealed it to me. Revealed me the truth. Revealed Christ to me. Revealed to me what I am and who I am. I've heard a lot of works preachers talk about the Apostle Paul when he said he was the chief of sinners. They said he was talking about before he was saved. No, he wasn't. I'm the chief of sinners tonight. And I'm sure you feel the same way. And we should. We should feel that way because we are. But I'm thrilled. I'm really thrilled. I'm overjoyed to be a bond slave of Christ. That's the slavery that I enjoy more than anything else. Just being his slave. Look back to the text. And then, I don't know what your Bibles are. But look over chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let me read a couple of verses there. Verse 22. 1 Corinthians 7, 22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. I think that all of us realize the great price that was paid for us. And I think we're really thankful for that. And we realize that we're not our own. I want you to turn with me, and I'm going to close with this. stay there for a while. Why don't you turn back with me to John chapter 15. John 15. The Lord's commandments are not grievous. They're not hard. If you believe in Him, trust Him. In Corinthians, or in John 15, I want to begin with verse 9. This is the words of the Lord Jesus Himself. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I hope your joy is full tonight. Mine is. I hope it is. If it's in Him, it is. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, I want you to get that. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How did He love us? Well, listen and we'll find out. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. The love that believers have for each other is very close, very similar to the love He has, if not the same, for us. And again, I'll confess, there's some of you who, if the choice was left to me, I wouldn't have chosen you as my brother and sister. And probably all of you think the same of me, that you wouldn't have chosen me. But thank God we didn't have to choose each other. He did it for us. And I love each of you. And I believe you love me. And that's what He said for us to do. That's His commandment. It's not just what we should do. It's His commandment. He said, I command you that you love one another as I have loved you. Now that's unto death, if you haven't gotten that already. And I think you have. It's a hard thing. I think mothers wouldn't hesitate at all to die for their children. Some husbands wouldn't hesitate at all to die for their wife, and vice versa. Well, this bond is as close to that. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're in the same body. Christ gave all He had to redeem us, including His blood, which was the most powerful. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, our love for one another should be no different. If I could give my life and save yours, I believe God would give me grace to do it. Now, on my own, I'd probably back up and hesitate, but if God would give me the grace, I could do it. And if God doesn't give us grace, we can't do anything. Whatever we do, it's motivated by Him. It's His power moving in us to do it. On our own, we would never do it. Not a thing. That's great love, isn't it? His love that He has for us. That's the reason He came. Loved us so much that even after that we went into the bondage of sin and loved it so well, He still called us, brought us out. Didn't have to. Yes, He did. He had to keep the surety that He promised His Father. And I'm sure that He won't back up on His word. If you're in Him, you're in the only safe haven. May God bless you.